If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
My name is Keen, and I am a white woman of suburban descent.
My name is Troy, and if you can't handle the truth, you can't handle me.
And you're listening to Sissy That Pod, your favorite RuPaul's reaction podcast. It is just Troy and I today. It is season 16, episode 10. If you want to hear the episode on UK vs. the World, that should be out in your feed now, or you can check it out, the full episode on the bonus feed. But for now, we're going to get back into season 16 for, would you describe this as like a political remix challenge?
Yeah, I guess so. There's always like a, you know, like around election time, there's always like those episodes where they try and incorporate something. I would say so.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair way to describe it. Okay, let's get into it. The episode starts with the Miami girls, more or less, bickering. Morphine and Maya are having a go at each other there. You know, trying to see who's the better lip syncer of the two. And I thought that was going to set us up for those two in the bottom two. That was kind of where I thought we were going when we saw that. Who do you think would win in a lip sync between those two?
Well, I agree with you. I thought it was going to be a bottom two moment. I was like, oh, here we go. Foreshadowing. You know, I have to say, in just like a week's time, I've really turned just the tiniest bit of a leaf on Morphine.
Okay.
That's just good. The tiniest, because she is very like, what's the word? She's not exciting because she's quite boring, but she somehow is still magnetic.
Mm.
And she's like, has great, she's just got like a little bit of an it factor thing happening. Yeah. Where I'm like, oh, so yeah, I would choose her.
She's a narrator of the season, I feel, in a way. Do you know, like, she just gives great talking head, and you know, she always looks great. I actually thought you were going to say you've turned a leaf on Maya, but no.
Never. Not this year. That won't be happening in 2024.
Not this year. I, you know, New Year's Day, I will reassess my judgment, but it's rendered now for 2024.
I need her to see herself, her makeup on TV, and then come back, and then we'll see how we feel.
I did actually take a note when we were having like the mirror moments and the gals were doing their makeup and they kind of panned through everybody. Maya's did look by far the ropiest of all of the makeup there. Just big bands of color over her eye. Nothing.
And it's like, I have to imagine that seeing yourself on TV, your makeup specifically more than anything, is like jarring. And any person that does drag would like change things up after seeing themselves. But like, my God, it's needed. Necessary.
Okay, well, look, there's no mini challenge. They kind of just get straight into announcing this is a political Rubik challenge. We are doing a... Did Ru say at the start that this was going to be a funk-themed song? Because I kind of like... There was all these aspersions to funk throughout it, and then I at one point I was like, they keep saying funk. I'm guessing the song is funky in some way, but I don't remember him saying it.
I think that he was alluding to like a... There was a lot of alluding to like a funk moment or like a kind of like a disco, like Motown-y kind of moment.
Voting empowerment anthem, and they were going to have to write their own lyrics, but also kind of perform together, which actually I think, you know, I kind of enjoyed it in the end. Leland produced it. This group of queens, more so than any that I can remember in a long time, really gave us the reactions when they were watching the other girls sing, dance, everything. There was actually loads of really fun moments, like Morphine's chicken heads, Q's high notes, Maya saying, just because I'm gay don't make me equal, whatever sort of emphasis she put on that word. That reminded me of Kimora Hall. Remember, like, I was rooting for us, and then like, no.
Yeah, that was like, it was I was like actually belly laughing. It was so funny. It made me laugh so hard when Q was like, I'm a music theater girl and I can hit a couple notes. And then she went up and was like, like, it was like wild old banshee hag in the forest. Like, I was really expecting like a gorgeous note to come out too, which is so funny. I was like, oh, she's gonna kill it.
What was really great was she had the commitment to somebody who knows they can sing in quotation marks, but without the range. So she just went, straight away, which I just thought was so funny.
And I know, and I love the description of what's his name. What was the choreographer's name?
Jamal Sims.
Jamal. I love when he was like, you know, she has an intense confidence. Like, she thinks she's really good. And sometimes just thinking that you're good is enough to... It's like, it was such a candid way of being like, she's delusional and she's carrying with her delusion.
In a similar way, though, I think Leland was very good at saying, you know, here's what's wrong about what you've done, but here's how we can turn that into a strength, which I thought was pretty good. Because I was like, we have what we have, so let's try and make it work for you.
There's just something so funny about watching a person think that they're like doing like these like Mariah Carey runs, and they're just screaming. Yeah. Like, it is so funny to me.
It was full Taylor Swift goat moment, do you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I was trying to remember who did the music production before Leyland, but after Lucian Piani. Can you remember?
I get a cold sweat when you bring up Lucian. I'm like, I don't remember.
I should have really Googled this. I can't remember either. But there was definitely somebody. But the show, I don't know, does the show create villains? Or, I don't know, do they just have a bad... people do, they select. But it's like, they choose somebody and they're there, and then they go off the rails somehow, like a Santina Rice or a Lucian Piani, or even like Todrick Hall ended up in trouble as well. Like, do they make villains or do they choose them? I don't know.
I didn't even think, I forgot about Todrick. I like forgot, I blacked out and probably compartmentalized it and tucked it away.
Yeah.
Todrick being on this show for a couple years. I just completely men in blacked that from my mind.
And I'm glad that I could undo that trauma for you. But Leland seems to be the one of the music producers anyway that like is the biggest name, like works with Troye Sivan and everything like that. So like, I think the show is definitely better with him in it. I think the songs have been definitely better.
Yeah, I agree. And Leland does Rue's music now, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, I love RuPaul's music.
I do. Absolutely. Hustle that cat. I've seen since last week and Don's, you know, innocent or purposeful manipulation of plasma to go goth, you know, via Pete Doherty. I've seen like people online being like, who you think the villain is playing Jane, who the actual villain is Don. And I think we see an aspect of that in this episode as well, where Don is like, oh, do you know what would be so funny? If you tell Nymphia you're going to give her the potion and then just don't. Like, that's callous.
Yeah. Oh, Don is pure evil. Don is literally pure evil. Hilarious, adorable.
Yeah.
Talented, pure evil. But she's really actually been an evil queen since the beginning. Like, she's only really been, like, genuinely making fun of everybody and laughing at everyone's face since the show started.
I know. I think they've, like, slowly upped the dial. Like, I think she used to get, like, 1 to 2 reads an episode, and now she's getting, like, 6 to 7. They've really, like, cranked up the shadiness from Dawn. But yeah. In a way that I feel like Dawn is shady and evil but lovable. And I personally still haven't there yet with Plain Jane.
Well, no, because Plain Jane isn't lovable or funny. Remember that. There's that whole thing about the jokes not landing constantly. That is just really a big bump in the road for her. Yeah.
Don't forget.
Don't forget that part.
Okay, let's get into the actual challenge, because I think that's most of the preamble. But I did want to say, do you miss the double guest? Don't they used to have 2 guests every week?
I don't, because I always felt like with the double guest, it was hard to know where to focus. And then sometimes it was really awkward when they would do a double guest, but like they wouldn't choose one person's music, they would choose the other person. And do you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
when they, I remember like Ciara was on once with
That's the one I
somebody,
remember. And Casey Musgraves were on the same time.
Casey Musgraves, and they like didn't even lip sync to either of their songs. It's like, because they probably like, how do you choose? I don't know. I just think it's better when there's like one focal celebrity. What do you think?
I kind of missed the two, but I do hear your point. I think in an episode like this, I would have liked a Jamal Sims and a guest.
Yeah, agreed. That's a really good point.
Because I guess like Jamal Sims is kind of part of the furniture, you know,
Yeah.
and well, Leyland's part of the furniture. So please sit behind the panel, but we also want star power too.
I agree. Him being on the judges panel doesn't feel like anything special.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree too. All right, okay, let's get into the actual performance then of Power. We'll go through the gals as they appeared, and you know, share our thoughts. My first note that I did have was that those dancers didn't even try put those trumpets near their mouth in any way. Like you could, you know, it, for people at home, if you're recording a podcast is you should be able to fit your fist between your mouth and the microphone. That's what they were doing with those trumpets. They did not want to touch them. They were like COVID scared. They were like, "No, touch those trumpets." They didn't even try.
The pit crew is low key like the most abused, hardest working ladies in show
Yeah.
business. Like, I always think of Willem constantly talking about how they're not allowed to wear shoes ever. How they're like walking on this set with nails and bolts and all this shit everywhere, and they're just walking around barefoot in underwear all day.
It's Rue has stakes in as stocks in Wiki Feet, that's why.
Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised.
Also, sidebar, did you listen to Celebrity Memoir Book Club talk about RuPaul's book?
I haven't yet.
Yeah, I listened to it today and or listened to it during the week. And if you don't know, Celebrity Memoir Book Club is a brilliant podcast where they will like read a memoir and condense it down into, you know, a 90-minute episode. And I was gonna go buy it to read it, and then when I heard girls read it, they basically said this book stops at the age of 35, and I was like, okay,
Oh God.
that's when things are warming up for me. I want, you know, peak fame celebrity anecdote, Rue. That's what, and you don't get it.
Oh yeah, shout out to Claire and Ashley.
Shout out to Claire and Ashley, they're so good. Right, okay, Dawn, how did you find Dawn did in the challenge?
Okay, I just want to start by saying that I don't think anybody did. This is like one year where I don't think anybody did exceptionally well. Like, there are some years where I'm like, that is literally, that's a song. Like, that is a song, and I would listen to it right now. Like, cut to me immediately downloading Kitty Girl after the end of the finale. I'm like, wait, you know what I mean? Like, this was not that for me. I don't think anybody did like so well. Just start with that. Dawn, I was a little shocked by like, because she was so cocky. And I was like, surely you're going to get up there and destroy it. And that wasn't initially what happened. I thought her verse was fine. I just thought it was like kind of like mid.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I thought that does everyone ready for a therapy session? I thought that's a kind of good, do you believe in love? You know, moment at the start of the song, and
Very
then
rude.
yeah, very rude. You're dead right.
Can I get an amen?
But this was a trend across a lot of them, and I don't know whether they were encouraged to rap or were they encouraged to fit as many words in as possible. There were times that I couldn't quite understand what she was saying, and I watched everyone twice and I still didn't get everything, which was a trend. But I don't know, there's her smile, like she just is very charismatic, and just seeing the cute little nymph up there dancing, like she did manage to pull it off in the end. Like I still think she did well.
Oh, totally. Yeah, she did well. Like, it was a passable grade for
Yeah,
sure. You
absolutely.
know.
Yeah. We won't remember it, but like we wouldn't turn
Yeah.
it off.
For sure.
Maya was up next. Even with all of Leyland's advice and coaching, I still don't think she made that equal line work, the double equal line. It's giving Pitbull, give me everything, take a picture of that with a codec. Better yet, go to Times Square, take a picture of me with a codec.
But at least Mr. Worldwide would have put, would have given us a little oomph.
Bit of oomph, a bit of Dale. We got no Dale from Maya.
Oh my God. It's like, girl. I've said this before. Some people just don't have it factor. And like, being a drag queen doesn't require you to have it factor, by the way. Like, some people are just drag queens and they're just fun. And she obviously is a good dancer. And I bet locally she really is that girl. But on TV, nothing translates. Like, nothing translates with her.
I think you see pockets of it. Like, her being feisty with Morphine is kind of fun. And you're like, okay, mm-hmm. girl, I see yes, it. Absolutely. I see it there. Yeah. Give us that. I only caught this in the second time. There was a Martin Luther King reference in there. In this, that, I don't know if you caught that. I don't know what she was saying, really, to be honest, what the purpose of it was.
I barely caught a word. I'm going to be honest. I barely caught a word. It was very, very mumble. It was like Teletubby speak.
Yeah. I couldn't hear anything. And Teletubby hair. That green hair.
Yeah.
Needed a comb. Yeah.
And the fact that he like told her, like, if you're going to, first of all, the nerve, the gall, the audacity to repeat the same word is like insane unless it's funny, you know? And that for her to not even think to like make it funny, like she just was saying the same word twice. And then when they told her how she could at least make it presentable by like kind of emphasizing the same word again, she couldn't even. I was just like, she just like, it makes me want to rip my non-existent hair out sometimes.
And also, like in comedy, there's a rule of threes. You know, I think if she had had the third line, also rhyme would equal. You can like, okay, there's actually a bit of structure to this, which kind of is good, but just, it just looked, felt cheap.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, didn't Nicki Minaj rhyme romaine as well at one point? But I don't want the barbs coming for me, so that was okay. Morphine was up next. So kind of like what we're saying, she had a really good structure on hers in that every sentence kind of started with, I got my, and then it would go up, and then I got my, and then it goes down. So like, you're kind of into the cadence of it already. She glowed. She like, she kind of took this sort of link from the end of her verse into like the three of them dancing together in an effortless way. I think the judges were right when they were like, you know, this is her best performance so far to date.
Totally agree. She really seems to have gotten like you can actually watch her get more and more comfortable with like being on the show, it feels. And like now she really, at this point, feels like she's coming to her own more. But I thought she did a really great job. And I thought that hers, like you said, it had the most kind of like the best flow. I was like, I could actually hear myself. I could picture myself like actually listening to this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think because you're only there, you know, you're only hearing it for the first time, but it's only like whatever, 30 seconds. The fact that the sentence structure is similar, you're like, okay, I feel like I know where this is going, but in a good way that I can kind of join in on it, you know, which I think definitely worked for her. Right. Nymphia was up next. And I guess this, we'll get to the judgments or where they would have landed kind of towards the end. It was kind of hinted that she was getting like a low edit. I thought she did great. I thought this was really good. I think the fact that she had much fewer words works to her benefit. I think the expression, do not ban my beauty, I think worked really well. Like the most memorable line of the song. And when she's dancing side by side by professional ballroom dancer Plain Jane, I think she wiped the floor with her.
I thought she fucking killed it, honestly.
Yeah. So good.
I thought a great job. I was like, I don't, and like the thing that I really liked about her whole moment was that she's good at, like, I think I said this about Dawn, like she's good at making things her own. And it feels like, I'm like, we talked about this last week, like a part of her process is to like spiral and then do really well. And I get that because I'm kind of like that too. I don't know, I thought she did really good, and I like that hers felt so different than everybody else's.
Yeah,
like, you know, it wasn't her trying to do like a Twista rap in the damn song, you know. And I also really liked too the take that she did where she ended up screwing it up, but she did that take where like she was giving all the voice inflection and like the personality with her voice, like it was really good.
Yeah,
I'm obsessed with her, honestly.
You're gonna vote yellow in November.
I know, I'm voting banana.
Next up was Plain Jane, who like, I know this was supposed to be making you go out and vote, and I mean, did anyone really hit the brief in that regard? I don't know. But this was just pussy jokes, right? Like, you can't touch this box. There was kind of too murmury. She looked great. But, like, I think it became really clear, and I think the judges said this too, when she was beside Nymphia, how I think she just had a little less attack to it or whatever. Like, she didn't own it. She didn't look as comfortable as she normally is in these sort of performance challenges.
Yeah, I wasn't into it. And it's like, all right, like, we get it. Pussy, box, kitty, all the things. It's like, again, maybe if you were funny, these would be landing, but none of it was funny. Like, it's like, yeah, vote. Put the vote slot in my box. It's like, okay, like, you know what I mean? Once you've heard one put the ballot in my box joke, you've heard them all, right?
Yeah, yeah, honestly. I think she should have gone like Russian interference jokes. Like, I'm Russian spy here to rig the election. You should, you know, vote and stop me winning. Something like that. I think, like, that would have been a fun way to bring her brand into it, that it wasn't just pussy jokes.
Yeah. Which she probably would have thought of if she was funny.
Yeah.
Katya would have done that.
Katya would have. I'm thinking of, do you remember, like, season 13, the musical, and was it Denali and Gottmik played Russian bots or whatever? Mm-hmm. They kind of stole the show. Like, I think Plain Jane could have riffed on that in a way.
Yeah, that would have been a really good branding opportunity, too.
Mm. Yeah, I think so too. Q was up next. I talk about her, you know, level of dedication. The way she did, now how do I describe this to people who can't see me? But like the rotation of her head in a circular motion, like she opened up and she was spinning that head like a washing machine so quickly that I genuinely thought it was just gonna spin off her shoulders.
She was on one. And honestly, seeing a person be that delusionally confident is, like, in some weird way, like, inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like, you can really pull off whatever if you just think that you can, you know?
It's the new Jennifer Lopez documentary. Like, that it's inspiring, yeah. The level of self-belief that you're like, if she can have that much, give me an ounce and I'll take it. You know, what could I do with an ounce of that self-belief?
Q said, this is me.
Yeah. Like, I really enjoyed that Jennifer Lopez documentary, but like, this is a similar thing to it, which is just like bundles of self-belief. I loved her 70s Elton John red latex glam rock look with the frills at the front of it. I watched this twice and I could not get a word of what she said. This I think was the worst, unfortunately.
I did love the look. And I wish that we got more of it on screen, because it was only on TV for like a second. But yeah, it was, I don't know what she said. Like, I couldn't understand what she was saying. And like, none of them felt like they matched the vibe. Like, none of them had a real clear understanding of funk, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
None of them, not everybody, but most of them like didn't really get the vibe, I feel.
You know, funk isn't something that, like, I guess is inherently natural to me either, but I'm pretty sure washing machine head movements does not funk make.
She was so awkward. Oh my god, I love it. And it's, I mean, listen, we all love to see a theater kid kind of like
flounder. Yeah,
you know, a little bit, just little.
I can see that coming up in like 6 months' time on clips of like, you know, Q really thought she ate, you know, and then this performance. And then finally, Safira was by far the most comfortable, I guess, in the role. I don't know if I loved the lyrics either. Again, I think I found it hard to understand her, but like the presence, the splits, the vocal prowess, I think where she really stood out the best was when the whole ensemble came together. She just felt like, again, mother of the whole group. She was the band leader and they were just her backing singers.
Yeah, I felt like she understood the assignment, which that alone kind of set her above the rest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just simply understanding the vibe.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Made her feel better than everybody else's. I didn't love her verse, if I'm being honest. I didn't think it didn't like blow me away. I wasn't like, but it was good in comparison to everybody else's.
Yeah.
And she just got the assignment. And like you said, she really did. She felt like she was leading that, like, band.
Yeah. Agreed. You know? I was wondering, I guess I was picturing, you know, the promo for UK season 2 where they were all dressed as the Pride, the Progress Pride flag. There was kind of an aspect of this here. Maya with the green hair, Morphine was in white, Nymphia yellow, Plain Jane was like a kind of like a light blue, Q was red, Saphira, and then Saphira and Dawn ended up both in black, and I was wondering, were one of them supposed to be in pink and purple and they changed last minute? Because when they all stood up in that ensemble, it was kind of like a rainbow flag. At
I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. Maybe somebody had a last minute change and ruined it, but yeah. Everything other than that, everyone else seemed to have a look kind of that fitted. Okay, that was the performance. We're going to get into the runway after this.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Excuse me. You don't listen to Sissy That Pod? The cheek, the nerve, the gall, the audacity, and the gumption.
So the runway category is True Colors, which... That's a phoning it in. Runway. What does that mean? You just choose a color and dress in that color. Like, you could wear anything.
Ruth said, "Category is everybody say love."
I mean, I know they normally have one color each season. Like, I know season, was it 11 had orange and there was a purple, there's red. Maybe they've just ran out of colors that they just said, "Let's do them all." But anyway, not a great runway category. Up first, though, was Maya in her red ruby gown with these like feathers and appliques on them. It was kind of like a nude illusion that went all the way down, touched the ground with the feathers at the bottom, and you know, her classic sort of black hair and makeup. I thought she looked good, but this isn't pushing the boundaries of Maya.
Yeah, it was just fine. It's a fine dress. It's nothing that we haven't seen before, and the wig is hard. The makeup is a mess. I mean, it's like definitely, I would say maybe one of her better looks.
Yeah, I would agree. That's positive. That's positive. By virtue of it not being negative, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the hard hairline, for sure. But anyway, next was Nymphia, who Kel Surprise gave us banana, but this was kind of with a samba ruffled yellow skirt. There was like a banana belt with those bananas hanging off it. There was banana bra. There was the sort of banana leaf armlet things up just below her shoulder, above her elbow. A banana headpiece, banana earrings, banana necklace. It's all banana. I mean, it is what it is. We've seen this look from her 3 times already.
Mm-hmm. We're tired. The fact that Michelle hasn't said anything about it is insane to me, by the way.
Mm.
Like, there are some queens who can't even wear the same nails 3 times on the runway. And she is basically, I mean, this is like, I don't know. It's like very well executed, but it's like seriously no comment about how you've done this before. I just thought that was interesting. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, maybe she's lucky in the fact that she's managed to show great diversity in between the yellows.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not getting yellow each week. But
that's true.
I think your comment stands. Like, I would expect Michelle to be like, yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Because that's how gorgeous. I feel. It is gorgeous.
Well done. I love how camp it is. It reminds me a lot of Manila. Mm. A lot of the stuff she does reminds me of Manila. They have the same kind of like high fashion, but make it camp, stupid, silly, but like gorgeous kind of vibe to me.
Yeah, I think Manila has had a better variety of concepts.
Mm, for sure, yeah.
That I think Nymphia is missing on thus far. You know, maybe to counteract our criticism, if this is true colors and you're you know, a color that represents you, I guess she has to go with yellow and she has to go banana.
Could you imagine if she, could you imagine if she didn't wear yellow? It actually would have.
But I liked it when she was like, I had to think for a long time. Am I going to go with like, was it like lime? Are you lemon yellow? Or all these, like, she named all these.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I decided to go with banana yellow. Okay, next up was Plain Jane, who gave us this, again, nude illusion, absolutely curved and swerved body with the padding, with these green sequined, kind of like geometric shards that kind of got bigger as the dress went down. She was really feeling herself in this, and I think you could tell. My only criticism was I would have liked some jewellery where the nude illusion stopped and her skin started, because it kind of broke the illusion somewhat, but other than that, I thought she looked great.
I think she looks really good, too. I don't, like, love the dress.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it felt like in her mind this dress was, like, the moment, and it was, like, the show-stopping moment that was going to gag all of the world, and I just did not feel that at, like, not even 1%. But it's, like, she looks fine. I just was, like, her confidence in the dress was wild to me.
Yeah, I hear you. It's, like, really nice. It's, like, an 8 out of 10, but she thinks it's a 200 out of 10.
Yeah, I was like, okay, girl. Good thing you can wear that to the finale.
Off. Yeah, exactly. Safira was up next. Of course, she went for blue, as per her name. Really reimagining the Marge Simpson hair on this one, which I quite liked. It's like Marge Simpson, but actually she owns a chateau in France.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is very Parisian Marge.
Yeah, I like it, though.
It's so ornate. It's so cool. I love the hair. Her makeup looks so cool. And it just reminds me of like a movie costume. Like it's very like, again, the amount of times I've brought this up on this show is insane, but it's like very Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah.
It's very floating through the clouds, honey.
We're exposing that we only work from the same 3 references. Yeah. Jennifer Lopez, A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah. I love it, though. It's so cool. I love the sleeves.
Yeah.
Like the
big sort of poof at the shoulders and everything.
Yeah.
It did look very regal. If I was to critique it, I would say the material either side of the dress, when the light shines through it, it does look, I guess, more affordable than you might expect. But it's an amazing silhouette, and it really, like, it works for her brand because she's so, like, regal and motherly.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you expect. Dawn was up next. She chose navy as her color, which I like to, because my boyfriend has regularly given out to me for wearing top to toe navy. So accidentally. So I see you, girl. She went for sleep nymph, I think, in this very long nightcap. It was a kind of crushed velvet leotard with kind of like a frill around the neck. and a frill at the ankles, and kind of like one of her design challenges where it was like sort of pants suspending low off her kind of waist. That's the kind of same material she has going on here, but she looks good.
Yeah, I think she looks good too. I really like the silhouette. It's very interesting. She reminds me of like a vintage doll, like a really creepy old doll that would like a soft plush doll that would be like in a rocking chair or something in somebody's like Dutch home. Like, it's giving European doll. but it's really cool. I love her using navy because it's such an unexpected color for drag.
Yeah,
I feel
it's very pedestrian.
Yeah, and like she makes it feel special. And yeah, it's just I'm sick of seeing her look like a nymph though. Like, I think it would be really cool if one random episode she went out on the runway in high whore, like morphine makeup, just like slut makeup.
Do you know what would be really good? Remember season 13, they did the makeover challenge where they had to make over each other?
Yeah.
I'd love that this season too.
I think they should do it every year.
Put Safira in a banana, you know, put Plain Jane in Dawn's makeup and Dawn be whore, Serbian megastar. Like, I think that would be really good this season.
I think that that should be a staple.
I kind of think so too. I mean, it's the makeover challenge is also so good to see external people and hear stories and stuff, but I think maybe do two.
It reminds me of, you know, in Spice World when they dress up like each other?
Yes.
And Jimmy's like, I'm so sporty. I love it. That's what it all made me think of. But yeah, I think that would be cool to see her just like do something so unexpected. Mm. And like, I know she could pull it off, you know?
Yeah, I think so too. I think she kind of looks like a Pokemon in this as well with the makeup. And kind of looks like long ears or something. Some sort of like ice dog that you'd meet in a cave. That's the kind of vibe I get off that. But no, I think she looks good. Now, Q gave us a different aesthetic in that she's giving us a Y2K, you know, pop star moment with, I guess, these like kind of long lavender sleeves, a lavender sort of bra with this kind of mesh hanging off it, and then a huge circular hat with fringe around the edge. This was definitely different and I liked it, but I did think it was a bit naked at the top.
I agree. The hat steals the show. It is so, it's just so like ready for a pop star to put it on and use it for an album cover. Like, it is so Beyonce. It's so Gaga. Like, it's just really cool. And like, the pants left a little to be desired for me. I was like, all right, silly pants. I don't know if I'm feeling.
Are they too high up or something? They need to be kind of like, I need to basically see the top of your pubes. That's what I look like.
Yeah, like there's something off about them, and I can't pinpoint it. Like, even when she was walking down the runway, I was like, I just don't like those pants for some reason. And I agree, the top did feel really naked. It's the only, like, it's not even bad, but like her standard, which is so high now. It's not my favorite, but the hat is crazy. It's so cool.
I think because the hat is so good, the other items sort of look like an afterthought.
You know what I think would have been really cool? If she had done the hat with just like a dress. like a silk dress or something. Mm. Something like same color, but like, I don't know. I think the pants kind of fight the hat.
I can see that. But like, I would just want to wear the hat and spin. I'd be like, spin, bitch, spin.
No, it's stop. So, he doesn't get asked to start designing for like the girls on tour. Yeah. I'd be shocked. She is like, he makes pop star clothes, you know?
Yeah. Oh, big time. And then finally, the mug of the season, morphine in this aubergine, eggplant, purple. Again, another strong hat with, you know, feathered hat, and then a nude illusion, figure hugging. Dress kind of comes out at the bottom and has from the knee down covered in purple feathers, as Ross Matthew said, girls, I'm always telling you to grow out your shin hair. She looked great. She always looks great, but this was one of her better ones, I thought too.
So Cher, so Bob Mackie, so cool. It's so like Cher going to the Met Gala in like the 70s. Like, it's just so beautiful. I'm obsessed with the hat. And again, her makeup is, it's like unreal. Like, I can't stop staring at her face. It is so beautiful.
Yeah. This actually is, they say in Untucked, the wig she wears is the same wig the Plain Jane wore for her Cher look. And also the same wig the Plasma wore last week in the look that she got eliminated in. So Cher's fingerprints have been all over this season. Who's wearing the Cher wig this week?
This wig is like a tumbleweed going through each episode of Drag Race. Yeah. I love it, though. God, she looks so good.
Okay, so the placings are kind of confusing, and it's all because no one goes home. But if, based on my reading of the critiques and kind of what the Queen said in Untucked, it seems like the top three were Morphine, Maya, and Safira, and the bottom three were Plain Jane Q and who am I missing? Dawn. Do you agree with that?
I do.
I do too. I think you could also make the case that Maya was safe, maybe, and Nymphia was in the top if she hadn't taken the potion. But let's talk about the potion. What was going on? Why did she make that decision?
I think she thought she was making a moment for TV. I think she thought she was having a TV moment. I bet she left the stage that night thinking that is going to be the gag of the season. It's going to be so crazy. Everybody's going to lose their shit. And it just wasn't.
And you know what the thing is? I think it could have been a moment had the producers the bottle to follow through. Like, think of the irony of this queen who is deluded to her excellence and has been performing really well, has this potion, will not use it, finally decides to use it, gives it to somebody who doesn't even need it, who danced better beside her in the challenge. And it's the one week that she actually gets negative critiques and ends up in the bottom and maybe even going home. Like, the irony, that would have been an amazing TV moment, but the producers did not have the bottle, in my opinion, to put Plain Jane and Q in the bottom two together, because they were clearly the two worst who needed lip sync. And I don't think they were willing to get rid of them. And I gave them points last week for sending home Plasma in what I thought was like an unpredicted, you know, twist. They produced an element of peril to the show that anyone could go at home at any moment. And then they were like, well, actually, we don't want Plain Jane and Q to go home, so let's just have it a non-elimination and say it's because of the election. I thought it was a huge cop-out and it pissed me off.
I mean, I don't think I could say it any better. That was exactly what happened. And had it worked out the way that you just described, it would have been classic Drag Race. Like, it would have been classic, great episode. Remember when everybody's jaws dropped Drag Race. Like, it would have been a gag. It would have probably been like the most memorable moment from this season that people would have talked about for years. But like you said, they kind of like got scared to do something bold, and it ended up just being like kind of head tilty. Like, it was just like, okay.
Yeah. Right. The season, the episode was so much worse because of that decision. And then it's like, okay, so this was the last episode someone could use the immunity potion, but actually it meant nothing because no matter who used it, no one was going home.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, either way, it would have not meant anything no matter what. I didn't think of that.
So, like, what was the point? Where are the stakes? There's no stakes gone anymore. Like, it just annoyed me. And this is an aspect of late stage Drag Race that kind of like makes me less excited by the show. And I don't want people here to think, because I know, like, you and I have found Plain Jane difficult to get into as a character. I don't want people to think I'm out here to get rid of Plain Jane. Like, even if she lip synced and sent Q home or Maya home, I still think that would have been a much better story and much more interesting show to watch than what we got.
I mean, I agree with you. And I think that the producers put too much weight on, like, what they put a lot of weight on this idea that we need twists. We need a gimmick and we need some sort of, like, you know, twist in the season. And I would say, like, not even just for Drag Race, but like pretty much like across the board on reality shows, people usually just want like their show. Whether it's Big Brother or Survivor or Drag Race or whatever, it's like, we don't actually even give a fuck about the twist. Like, there's a silly fun thing, and when they work, and when it's, but like, we would all still enjoy the show without some stupid twist that like kind of doesn't pay off.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, sometimes sometimes they can turn out good or whatever. Like, I still think that the best twist they've ever done, and Spain copied it, and it really worked well for Spain as well, is in All Stars 2, the queens go home, they appear behind the mirror, and then they pair up with an existing queen, and the winning queen comes back. I think that was the best, and I don't think they've been able to top that since.
And they've tried desperately to top that moment, and they can't. It will, to me, that will always be the greatest moment in Drag Race history.
That mirror moment.
That was the Emmy moment.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I think sometimes a twist can pull off. Like, I do think the Game Within a Game and Silky made that twist what it was. And I think that episode being really, really enjoyable, despite all of us being like, here's that goddamn Game Within a Game. But then there's twists like the chocolate bar. That was just a slow, screeching car crash that we all saw coming.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like they'll give them a good twist. Like, I think that the potion could have been really interesting if the queens knew how to use it in an interesting way, or like how to lean into what was supposed to be interesting about it, which is exactly what you described.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely.
That's like what the intention clearly was when they came up with that idea, was like, at least something like that would happen and it would be a gag, you know?
Yeah. Or like, it definitely could have been a gag in a scenario, like, again, of All Stars 2, I'm thinking of, like, you know, Alaska not being able to send Roxy home wearing her top. You know, if there was more of these potions around the place, or, you know, maybe there was two at the start and one for Snatch Game or something, that, like, there's two best friends and one of the best friends is clearly in the bottom, but the other one gives her potion, and then somebody else ends up going home instead of them, like, that's an element of excitement that we could get on board with, rather than Sephira freaking out drinking her potion when she was safe anyway, and then Plain Jane giving it to a queen who did better than her in the challenge. Like, they both fucking spunked their potions up the wall, and like, here we are going, what was that all about?
And everybody in the room is like, just blinking, like, okay.
Anyway, that's our thoughts on that. So because this whole episode, there was so much talk about funk, they were talking about Dawn not being able to funk, they were talking about the white girls not being able to funk, I was like, we must be getting a funk lip sync song. So we got music from the queen of funk and power and voting democracy, Meghan Trainor, with another goddamn TikTok song.
If I could self-inflict physical pain on this and not scare you, I would. That's how painful that was to me. I was like, surely these young women are not about to lip sync to Meghan Trainor. It's like, why don't you just take them to a Penny's or a Sears and let them fucking lip sync to whatever song comes on next? Like, that would have been better. Meghan Trainor during a funk episode, it just in general, really, her at all, like, enough with the Meghan Trainor, enough. Oh my god.
You know, I think there is a sort of queen who could pull off a Meghan Trainor. Like, I definitely think, like, what's it, My Name Is No, My Sign Is No, like, that's camp, and I think the certain queen could pull that song off with the right level of flair. But I just think Sephira is like, I'm too long on the tooth. I've done my shit gigs. Don't get me up here lip syncing to Major Look on national TV. I mean, honestly.
And like, these two, like, these queens could have killed it. Like, this could have been an really cool, especially them knowing that they had nothing to lose. Like, those are lip syncs when they can just go berserk because they're not going home. Oh my god. Like, what a missed opportunity. I was blown away. I was honestly blown away. I was like, what white homosexual was back
or
there pushing?
Heterosexual, I don't know.
Right. Honestly, that's probably better. Like, what?
Wild. Which do you find more demeaning? The pit crew having to walk around with no shoes on, or having to lip sync to Meghan Trainor?
Oh, Meghan Trainor.
I'll take my shoes off right now. Just don't make me listen to Major Look.
I'll walk on a bed of nails. Just do not humiliate me with Meghan Trainor. Like, I'm just like ready to. Meghan Trainor is somebody that I know that we're a little bit into the year at this point, but I'd really love to just leave her in the past. Like, can we just
Well, I don't. she isn't hitting in 2024, is she? Like, Made You Look was that end of 22? Like,
people, she's around though. People like her for some reason. Like, she's like, I don't know. Like, you walk into a Baskin Robbins and she's playing, and I don't know why. Like, I just don't understand it.
Because even, what was that song that was the follow up to that song? Was something about, I'm Your Mother? You'll listen to me?
My God.
I'm like, okay, we all know who you're aiming. We all know who you're targeting this song to.
I cannot stand Meghan Trainor. I have beef with her anyway, because she's very anti-Britney.
Gotcha. Last week's outro, we discussed them possibly running out of ideas. And next week, they're doing a drag awareness employee seminar challenge. Like, WTF?
Yeah, I mean, clearly they're running out of ideas. From between the twists, the challenges, them repeating the same challenge basically like eight times per season, but like putting new clothes on it. It does kind of feel like they're running out of ideas. And again, I'm just like, if that's the case, let's take it back to season one and just start recycling fun things we haven't done in a long time. I think everybody would be okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, these seasons are normally 16 episodes long now, and I think like if we're not coming up with decent challenges to fill those 16 episodes, we can probably bring that down. So next week we episode 11, we'll have 12, 13, 14, and then the reunion will be 15 and the finale will be 16. So we've got 4 episodes. This drag awareness, I mean, maybe is like in lieu of a stand-up challenge or a roast, which I would much rather a roast, to be honest, than, I don't know what this is, but maybe we're getting a roast too. I think we're probably getting a makeover challenge in there as well.
A speech of some sort being a part of it, you know?
Like for All-Stars 7, where they had to do like university kind of roast things, that was great.
Yeah. You're right, though. I would really love... I love the roast challenge, and I love any kind of stand-up, like... I love when they have to do comedy.
Yeah.
I think that...
Yeah, I think so. So, look. Who knows what next week is going to be like, but you and I will be here to get into it all. The good, the bad, and the ugly, and the Meghan Trainor of it all. thank you so much for listening. You can find Troy over at Troy Jean Spears. What's going on in Beyond the Blinds this week? Who are you exposing?
Well, we just released a late night television episode. We're thinking about doing something special for the Patreon involving Diddy.
Oh.
And I'm sure people could probably pick up on what that is.
I think so.
But yeah, so that's probably going to be happening.
Okay. I mean, I was going to say nice, but if it's involving Diddy, it'll be heavy. But sure. Eye-opening.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. Head over to sissy.pod to check out updates on the show. We'll be back next week with episode 11 of season 16 of RuPaul's Drag Race. And until then, have a lovely week. I shall see you. Love you. Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.